As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Coming up on episode 320 of Wheel Bearings, we've got the Kia EV6 GT, the Maserati MC20, the BMW M2, the Lexus TX. Our buddies at TFL take on the Kandi K27. We've got Wheel Bearings merch. There's some new lower-cost Kia EVs that were announced in Korea. Also, there's a brand new BMW X2. You can get your Tesla wrapped directly by Tesla. And there's the Nissan Hyper Adventure concept. All that and more coming up next. This is episode 320 of Wheel Bearings. I'm Sam with Wheel Sandwich from Guidehouse Insights.
And I am Nicole Rufflin from the Rare Reflection Podcast.
And I am Roberto Baldwin from SAE International.
Woohoo!
And Miss Nicole, yes, what you been driving?
I had lots of stuff to drive, so I'm going to start with the funner. I was really going to say funner. The more fun of the two, funner was just what we're going to. It is funner. So I had the BMW M2 coupe.
Coupe.
I feel like coupe. If I say it like I'm English, it sounds fancier. But yeah, the coupe. So the two door. This is the most fun car I've driven in a bazillion years. The end, Nicole. I loved this. This was so much fun to drive. And the thing is, it looks like a sports car on the outside. Like, it has all that look of being sporty. You open the door and good Lord, it looks like a race car. Like, this one had the carbon fiber package, which I don't know if you guys know the answer. Do you know how much the carbon fiber package adds to the price of this vehicle?
$2,300?
$10,000.
Sam, you went slightly over $9,900.
Wow. I've had that car and I had that package and clearly I've forgotten it.
I seem to recall from, like, you know, the M4s and stuff, you know, that it was somewhere in the $10,000 range.
Yeah, $10,000 for this. But you get carbon fiber like everywhere. There's a carbon fiber roof. There's carbon fiber bits on the outside. There's carbon fiber on the steering wheel. There's carbon fiber on the center console, on the dashboard, on the seats, on the backs of the seats. I think 90% of the car, I feel like, is carbon fiber everywhere you look. That's what you get.
So did you have the seats with the little crotch bolster too?
Yeah, I don't. That's my complaint. Have you guys both driven this with the crotch bolster?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the M4 competition, the M3 competition, some other models.
I don't like it. You know why? Because it bumps my thigh, like my right leg, as I'm trying to drive and just go gas pedal brake, gas pedal brake. I can't move my leg far enough to the right that I don't feel like that stupid thing is bonking like my thigh. I don't like it. It was not comfortable. I don't know if it's just me. It's not a me-shaped seat, but that literally was my one big complaint. I'm like, good. And I kept doing that. You know, like if you can't get the seat adjustment right, you keep lowering it and then raising it and forward. And I kept trying to fiddle with it and I couldn't get a spot, no matter what I did, for me to reach the pedals and have the right angle to reach the brake pedal and the gas pedal. That stupid little carbon fiber thing was in the way.
I'm pretty sure that there's probably like one German engineer that fits that, and that's it.
It was awful. Did it bother you guys?
Yes.
Not. I mean, it's a little annoying when you get in, but once I was in, it doesn't really bother me. But I'm shaped like a German.
Maybe you're shaped like a German. I don't know. But it drove me crazy. I did. That was like my one objection. And it's funny because normally when I have those sports seats, the thing that kind of drives me nuts, and it didn't in this one, is it has really heavy bolstering like on the seat and on the sides. Mm-hmm. And it's not that even that it's too tight, because you can adjust the little squish how tight it hugs you, so you can relax it a little bit. But on the one on the seat cushion, sometimes when they're too high, you feel like you're like stepping up to get out of the car. Like you have to swing your leg over.
Like, whee!
This, yeah, and I'm like, this is an awkward motion. But this one was actually okay. So that was my big beef, was that stupid crotch thigh. But,
and the crazy thing is you could just save $10,000 and not get that.
Right?
Yeah.
Just save 10 grand and don't do that and have a more comfortable
just not have
vibe.
That. There you yes. go.
But I mean, it's a twin turbo inline six. It has 453 horsepower, 406 pound feet of torque. It's got power. It's not this gigantic car, and it has 453 horsepower. So when you just like barely touch that gas pedal and it goes nicely. It goes fast. It goes with great aggression in a wonderful way when you accelerate up to highway speeds, so that you have to be careful because you're thinking you're accelerating up to highway speeds at the end of the ramp. And you will be far past highway speeds at the end of the ramp if you aren't really paying attention. It's the kind of car that you're like, you know, I feel like a lot of people are going to be saying, no, officer, I have no idea how fast I was going. Like, that's just the kind of car it is. And it handles so beautifully. It feels very composed. Like, you know, because you can look at the speedometer how fast you're going, but it doesn't feel like you're going that fast because it just handles so nicely. I thoroughly enjoyed every second driving this, and just sitting behind it, it just has such a beautiful look to it. It looks every bit the sports car. Like the paddle shifters, also carbon fiber, but they have, you know, the up and the down shift have a plus and a minus, and the plus and the minus are like carved out and they're outlined in red. You know, the M has that red blue, that like distinctive red and blue. It's like the red. The seat belts have the little red and blue on there, and they have the cool. The badging, even the badging on it, it's the M's 50th anniversary of M. So they have that M anniversary badge that's like sort of like a modified funky BMW badge with extra light, like color to it. Even that looks fantastic. Like, I loved this car. And honestly, even with the crazy carbon fiber package, it is $76,845. $76,845, which is a lot of money, but take 10 grand off and you're down at 68. But even with that, I'm like, it almost looks like it should cost more. It feels like more because it's just so adorned on the inside. And then you get a great big, it's like a 14.9 inch infotainment screen, and you've got like a huge digital instrument cluster. And I loved this car. I had so much fun. I don't want to give it back. If you don't see me next week, it's because I've absconded with the BMW M2 Coupe, and I'm living a life of crime now. Yep. So I loved this. I loved it.
Excellent.
Zero complaints, except for the thigh thing. Did you guys like it when you drove it?
I haven't driven the M2 yet.
You haven't driven the M2?
I have the M2. I had the manual one. It was fantastic.
Yeah, you loved
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic. Loved it.
Fantastic. The also M2's... fantastic as an automatic.
Yeah, it just continues to impress. No, but I had the M2 CS. That's the only one with the manual, right?
Okay. Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, the regular M2, the 2 Series doesn't have a manual anymore. But is the M2 CS?
I think the M2 is available with a manual.
Okay, the M2 has a 6-speed manual or an 8-speed auto. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, it's at the M2. So if you're getting a 2 series and you require, like myself, you still require a manual transmission from this type of vehicle, you have to get the M2. You can't just get the 2.
No, you have to get the M2. The M2 is where it's at, and you get the fancy badging. Also, it has seating for 4.
I don't know for who.
I'm like, what 2 people are you going to squish back there? Like someone you really don't like a munchkin? I don't know who would fit back there. The seats are so ridiculous. I wish they wouldn't even do it. Like when a car can't realistically fit 2 humans into the back seats, just don't do it.
Yeah. Don't bother.
Don't bother with the seat belts. Don't bother making it look like cushions. If you wanted it to be a little flat benchy storage area so you can throw things back there so you don't have to open the trunk, fine, but just stop it with these rear seats that are not usable by any human being unless you're like college kids piling eight people into a four-person car anyway. Stop.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to try the M2 next month at the BMW Test Fest.
Oh, I bet you will.
Test Fest.
Yeah, I think that was on the list of stuff they're going to have there.
Oh, I think it's too late to email them back to say I'm not going. Oh, I have to email someone else back too. All right, keep talking.
Okay.
Robbie, you're letting people hanging.
I know. So, I feel, oh gosh. I'm sorry, Polestar.
I'm sorry, Polestar. Sorry, BMW.
Well.
So the other vehicle that I drove, I went to Texas to drive the Lexus TX or the Lexus Texas.
Lexus Texas.
We're not supposed to call it that, but I'm like, you guys, it's called the TX. That is literally the abbreviation for the state of Texas. And I know you're based in Texas, but you have the drive in Texas. If you don't expect us all to call it Lexus Texas, then you shouldn't have named it that. That's what I think. So the Lexus Texas, which is their three-row SUV, it's kind of like, you know, the, oh my God, the Grand Highlander for
Toyota. It is totally the Grand Highlander, but yes, with a Lexus face on it. And
a Lexus
it,
face.
It does have different powertrain options, so.
It does. And it's a little, the inside is Lexusified. I mean, it's a little fancier and they changed some
Lexified
things. I don't remember having this on the Grand Highlander and it was a silly thing, but I think it's kind of cool. The cup holders, did the cup holders come out in the Grand Highlander? I don't remember them coming out.
I don't think so.
I didn't think so. So you have, you know, you have two like cup holders for sitting front, like one in front and one in back lined up perfectly. And they're in little square pods. You can push a little button and you can take it right out. So you can entirely remove it. So if you wanted to put a cup that was really large, or if you just want to take the two of them out and use that space for other random stuff because you don't have a drink, you can do that too. And if you have the captain's chairs in the second row, they have a little center console that has the same little removable cup holders, which I thought was kind of a neat idea that you could pop those out if you didn't want them. Also, that you could pop them out and clean them because cup holders get really nasty sometimes. Like suddenly you look down, you're like, what science experiment from spilled coffee and soda? And,
I like, you know, when they have the little rubber insert.
Yeah,
cup holders have because you can pull it out and then like, oh gosh,
right?
Clean it.
The whole thing under the sink and like, let's wash.
Like, really?
So I feel like you could take these out entirely and just put them in the sink and be like, scrub it up, shiny. Put them back into your car and it would not have a science experiment in your cup holders.
Yeah.
So, which is for especially for the ones with the captain's chairs, kids are notorious for just leaving stuff in cars, and the idea that you could take those out when you realize the kids left a petrified chicken nugget in there that you missed or something.
That's
and
for later.
Actually, right? When you're like, why does my Lexus Texas smell funny? Crud, what's in those cup holders? You can take them out and you can clean them. But yeah, you get three. You have a gas, a hybrid, or a plug-in hybrid with this. So you have all the flavors of driving that you could possibly want to do. If you get the gas engine, you are front-wheel or all-wheel drive. The others are all-wheel drive only. And they also have configurations. I want to say that the bench seat in the second row is also only available, I think, on the gas engine. It's not the full lineup. So depending on the engine that you get, you have different options for how the rest of the car is configured. So you can't get what you want no matter what. You have to kind of pick. I mean, I liked it. I think the design on this looks good. I like the new grill. I think they're calling it I forgot the name of it. It's like they've changed that spindle grill that was like in your face before. Like, it was so aggressive.
Too much.
Just too much. Like, it wasn't as bad on a car, but on an SUV, when you have this giant SUV, like,
The LX is the worst for that because it is just enormous.
It's enormous. It
makes the late, you know, the BMW iX twin kidneys look modest by comparison.
Look reserved and demure, even. Yeah. So I like that. Like, it's funny because some people like it and some people don't. Some people think they don't like it. They think it's too tame. I'm like, I don't know. I like it not looking like my SUV is going to swallow the car in front of me whole. Like,
it's like a whale shark. It's just like that.
Yeah, it was just, I'm making like Pac-Man movements with my hand. Like, waka, 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 waka. It was just going to come and like just take over the other cars in the highway. So
I'm going to hoover up everything.
Going to hoover everything up.
For our British listeners.
Yes, hoover up there for the British. So, so I think this, I like the design. You know, it's like the Grand Highlander, which I liked a lot too. I mean, I thought there were a lot of neat little things. I did with it. It was fun to drive. I think there's a lot. I mean, if you remember the RXL the RXL was a terrible three-row SUV because a third row was impossible. It was like, is this really?
It was barely longer than the two-row version.
Right? It was like, here's our three-row. It's like, nah, guys, no. So it's kind of like they made up for it. Like, we're sorry. Apologies. Have the Lexus Texas. We will give you a big car, call it Texas, and it will have three usable rows of seating and still have plenty of cargo room in the back. There is 13 cubic feet behind the third row, which is a pretty good amount. That's enough to handle a decent little amount of luggage. If you fold that down, you'll get even more. Fold it all down, 97 cubic feet. So this one really has room for the third row, really has room for cargo. And I stuck a couple of our colleagues who were 6 feet. Robbie, you weren't there, but I'm like, how tall are you? Sit back there. How tall are you? Sit back there. Guys who were like 6'3" and had them climb into the third row and sit. I'm like, because I can probably get comfortable. I'm 5'6". What about the tall folks? They all had plenty of headroom. Where they had a little trouble was there's enough room for your knees, but the floor is a little high. So it kind of gives you that sharp angle to your knees where your knees bend. So it was, but still they said I could ride back here. It was comfy. So tall guy approved on the wave of the drive program that I was on. So I really think it does a good job of giving that family car to a luxury buyer. They get great standard features. There's wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. There's a 14-inch infotainment screen. It looks good. It's comfortable. It's quiet. It's nice to drive. It's responsive. It's not sporty. It's a great big SUV, but it is still responsive. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think that it's going to do really, really well for Lexus.
And how much range does the plug-in hybrid have?
Oh, I don't have that in front of me, Sam. I don't
Lexus,
know.
Lexus, Texas.
And Lexus. They don't have it on fueleconomy.gov yet. So it might not actually be certified yet.
It might not be. They didn't have pricing. Did they have pricing? They didn't have pricing for us at the time that we were leaving either on the whole range. Either they had the base for the gas was 55, and I believe the hybrid was 69, but the PHEV they hadn't even announced yet. So I think they're still coming out with bits and pieces.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I remember them saying. So yeah, so there you go. The Lexus Texas. I liked it. Lexus
Yeehaw.
TX. Yeehaw.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can support Wheel Bearings directly? Head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia and you can become a patron today. Your contributions will help fund the platforms and tools we use to bring the podcast to you. And exclusives and improvements are already on the way thanks to your generosity. So if you want to be part of an automotive podcast like no other, head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia. So, Robbie, did you have anything?
You know what I have? I have a car that I've already driven and already talked about. It's very weird. It showed up. I'm like, oh, huh.
What is it? You have to tell us what it is.
It's the Kia Niro EV, the Wave. And I've had it before, and it's the exact same car. There's this whole mix up with what happened, how I ended up with it.
Confusion, but, hysteria.
Typically when I get rid of a car, I take my phone out of it. You know, I pull it off of CarPlay. This one I did not, so as soon as I plugged it in, it's all bloop, hey, welcome back.
Oh, that's funny.
So Kia Niro Wave, same as the last time. It has not improved. It has not gotten worse. Good all job, right. Kia.
Well, that's always a good sign. At least it didn't get worse.
Yeah, it didn't get worse. Good job.
All right. All right. So you remember last week when I was complaining about the Lexus RZ?
Yes.
And I said, you know, that as I was swapping the RZ for another EV crossover, nominally a crossover, although really I think it's more of a wagon, more of a shooting
wagon.
Break. Yeah, or a shooting brake or a wagon than a crossover. But at any rate, whatever you want to call it, that was similar in price, has a roughly similar range, but it was way, 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 way better. That is the Kia EV6 GT. And, you know, the EV6 GT, because you get more powerful motors, a little more weight, bigger wheels and tires, you know, that does eat into the range. So it's rated at 206 miles of range by the EPA. But depending on how you drive it, you can easily do better than that. Of course, you know, with the kind of performance that the EV6 GT is, restraining yourself so that you do get that extra range is going to be tough, but it's doable. Over a week of driving, I averaged, I think, about 2.9 miles per kilowatt hour, which is actually pretty good. Cause it was quite a bit of highway driving in there, which is, you know, generally not as good for EVs as urban driving. I really like the EV6 GT. If I had any complaints about it, it would probably be the seats, which are, you know, really heavily bolstered sport seats. You know, so big thigh support or big side supports on the seat back and the seat cushion, really holds you in place when you're cornering hard, but not really that comfortable. At least not for me anyway. This thing is wicked fast. It's what, 576 horsepower, I think. Something silly like that. It's a silly amount of power. This thing is, in performance wise, is, you know, roughly comparable to a Mach-E GT. I think that's a good comparison. It's got the same 77 kilowatt hour battery pack, 77.4 kilowatt hour battery pack as the other EV6s, or at least the Wind and the GT line. I think there was a base version of the EV6 when they first launched it that had a slightly smaller battery pack and a lower price, but they discontinued that one. And so it's got the same battery pack size. It's got the same charging, 240 kilowatt charging, dual motors, all wheel drive, big honking brakes, bright lime greenish yellowish green brake calipers at all four corners that are very clearly visible through the big wheels. It is a hoot to drive. But, you know, 3.4 seconds 0 to 60. Does anybody really need that?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Especially when the regular EV6.
Everyone needs to settle down.
We'll do 0 to 60 in 5.1 seconds, which is plenty quick enough for anybody. And so as much as I like this thing, you know, and I do like it, I love the way the EV6 looks. Lots of rear seat leg room and headroom, decent amount of cargo space in the back, just a modest little front storage area that's basically big enough to hold your charging cable, and that's about it. Or maybe a slim briefcase, you know, assuming that anybody actually still uses a briefcase.
Oh my gosh.
Or maybe a messenger bag. Messenger bag.
There you go.
That's a new briefcase.
Yeah. So this, you know, the EV6 is a great car, you know, and if you're looking for an electric vehicle, and you want something in this size range that is stylish, sporty, and fun to drive, yeah, that's a little sportier look than the Hyundai Ioniq 5. This is a great choice.
You can't afford the Taycan Cross Turismo.
And you go for
or you can't afford the Taycan like wagon.
Yeah.
But you can afford this. This is like, I can't afford that.
Taycan Cross Turismo for the mainstream.
Yeah, that's the first time I drove it, I'm like, oh, it's like a baby Taycan.
Yeah. No, that's actually a great analogy, because the performance is pretty close to it. Let's see. There was no Monroney, but the one I had was in runway red, with the black suede seats. came to a grand total of $62,925. Guesses on destination charge?
12.
1095.
Robbie got it again. 1325. So $63,000. So this was actually about $3,000 less than the RZ. Gets similar range. It's a lot faster. It's a lot better looking. Has more cargo space. It's, you know, I think it's better looking anyway. I mean, obviously design is a matter of preference, but I would go with an EV6 over the RZ. But if I was buying an EV6, I actually would not buy the GT. As great as it is, as fast as it is, I would buy. Da, da, da. I would actually go for the Wind, I think.
Because they have the GT line.
Yeah, they have GT line.
It's like, I think the Wind's better.
Yeah. Yeah, the Wind, I would actually probably go with the Wind rear wheel drive. Because, you know, unless you need all wheel drive, you know, I would go with the Wind rear wheel drive and get a set of winter tires. Because that's actually going to be better than all season tires with all wheel drive. Yeah. And that one goes for $49,000. Gets 320 miles of range. You know, you get the same basic looks to it. You know, much more efficient, charges just as fast. And that would be, you know, that would actually be my choice for this. But, you know, if you want that extra performance, the GT is there. It's there for the taking. You can have it. The only, and also the other thing with the Wind, I actually prefer the seats in the Wind, especially as a daily driver. You know, easier to get in and out of, more comfortable. You know, I thought there was less lateral support, but they actually supported my back and stuff in the right places, where, cause it actually has some extra adjustments. The sport seats in the GT, basically all you have is fore aft and seat back recline, and there's no other real adjustments on it. And so there is a lumbar support, but it's kind of in the wrong place. So it just wasn't as comfortable for me. But you know, with the Wind, you know, you've got more options there, or even the GT line. And so that would be my choice. The only other downside right now with the EV6 is because it's still built in Korea. There's no tax credit available on it. Although if you lease, they will do the pass through on the tax credit on the lease, and then you can get it at a better price. So if you lease it and then buy out the lease at the end, that's the best option.
Yeah, I would just lease an EV right now still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think that's a good call for EVs.
Yeah. So, next EV, we're going to lease that one as well.
Yeah.
We got another year. We got a year left on the Kona, and then the next one will be a lease.
So, Tuesday morning, we're recording this one a little early. It's Thursday evening right now. And Tuesday morning, I had to go to a couple of appointments over on the other side of Detroit. And so I stopped off at the fleet office there and dropped off the EV6. And I picked up another red car, very, very red, that is ever so slightly different from the EV6. Okay. It's just a tad more expensive.
Just a bit?
A smidge.
It's actually not that much faster. Because, you know, the EV6 GT will do 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. The car I got does 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. But, oh, man, does it look good. It is gorgeous. It was
you
the Maserati.
Pictures, you giant tease. I was like, oh, look at the pictures of what he's driving.
The Maserati MC20.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, only had it, you know, for like 2.5 days, but it was a great 2.5 days.
That would be a really fun. I'll take 2.5 days if that's all I could get.
Yeah. So the MC20 is the new mid-engine supercar from Maserati. Probably the last of its type. You know, certainly the last with an internal combustion engine. Yeah. As they start their transition to electrification. It has the new Maserati 3-liter twin turbo V6. They call it the Nettuno V6. It's 630 horsepower. So this is unlike previous Maseratis with the V8 engine that was actually based on, you know, that V8 was designed by Ferrari. This one was not designed by Ferrari. It was, and this one was designed in-house by Maserati and built by Maserati. So this, the same engine is in the new Gran Turismo as well. And performance-wise, it's a great engine. 630 horsepower. It doesn't sound great. It doesn't sound as nice as the V8s that they had. Like when I had the Levante Trofeo last year with the V8 in there, that one sounded better. This one is not as great. It's still nice. Just not, it doesn't give, the sound doesn't give you that thrill that you expect of an Italian supercar. But it was great to drive. This thing has a carbon fiber tub, and which is really light. Like the tub weighs less than 100 kilos, so less than 220 pounds. And the nice thing about it, because it's carbon fiber, it's really stiff. And the doors open up, you know, dihedral style, kind of like a McLaren, you know, so it goes slightly out and up. And because of the carbon fiber tub, they're able to bring the door apertures way down. So unlike some other sports cars I've driven that have a really high or a really wide sill that makes it a pain in the neck to get in and out, this one was actually surprisingly easy to get in and out of because the sill is not super wide. It's not super tall. I mean, the sill was basically at seat height. And the door is quite wide. It's or thick. The door is quite thick. You know, but when it opens up, you know, it cuts in, you know, right by the tub. So it's really, really quite easy to get in and out of. Quite, and so it's surprisingly comfortable to use as a daily driver. It's also got surprisingly good ride quality, even though it handles fantastically. So, you know, driving it back from Pontiac on Tuesday, you know, on some roads that were less than ideal, it did, you know, you put it in GT mode, you know, so it's got different drive modes. It's got GT, Sport, and Corsa, you know, which kind of turns off all the stability control and other stuff. And, you know, in GT mode, it's really quite pleasant to drive, just, you know, as a commuter car, which, you know, given that this is anything but a commuter car, you know, the infotainment system is Stellantis's Uconnect 5. So basically it's the same infotainment system you get in a Jeep Compass, cool, or, you know, a Ram 1500 or any number of other Stellantis vehicles. So it just works really well. It's got wireless support for CarPlay and Android Auto. You know, it's everything just worked about it. The only thing that I could not figure out was how to open the hood, you know, to see the front trunk. But the front trunk is pretty small anyway. It's like less than 50 liters. And it's like less than half the size of the rear trunk behind the engine, which itself is not particularly large. And you cannot, it will not fit like a carry-on bag in the trunk in the back. Oh, wow. So it's not like a C8 Corvette where you can put a couple of golf bags in there or a paddleboard, an inflatable paddleboard. Those will not fit in the back of the MC20. But it doesn't
never
matter.
Mind.
Because
never
it's mind. Everything else about it is so wonderful.
It's just so fun. You don't care. Yeah.
And the color on this thing was, it was this Corso red that is surprisingly close to Mazda's Soul Crystal red.
Oh, is it?
So it's very totally acceptable.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not quite exactly the same. I think the Mazda red is just slightly darker, but it's very close. And it's a great color to look at and a great car to look at. Speaking of looking at it, last night I met up with a couple of friends, and when we came out after having a bite to eat and a couple of and a drink, We were walking around the car and looking at the back end, and this thing has a lot of carbon fiber on it, more than the M2 does, including the entire rear bumper is carbon fiber.
Wow.
And we were just contemplating how much it would cost You know, if you had just a minor fender bender that on a normal car, you know, might just, you know, crack the plastic cover over the steel bumper. What would that cost on this car to fix? I'm guessing.
Too much.
Yeah. At least at a minimum $10,000, probably at least probably closer to twice that.
You probably got to send it back to Italy.
Yeah, probably
the whole car.
Yeah.
There's Ferraris where they're like, oh, there's something wrong. We got to send it back to Italy. Like, well, yeah. You'll get your car in 8 months. And you're like, what?
Wait a minute. I need that back.
So they did not provide a Monroney with the MC20. And the configurator on the Maserati website does not list the option prices. The base price on the MC20 is $217,000.
Whoa.
I'm going to guess that, you know, equipped like the one that I drove, it's probably somewhere between 250 and 270. So
just a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Scooch.
It's not inexpensive, but it has all the features that you want. It's got heated seats. Yeah. You know, it's got a good functional infotainment system. There's a wireless charging pad for your phone. It's easy to get in and out of. So what more could you ask for? You know, it's perfect.
Practically yeah. Perfect in every way. It's the Mary Poppins of cars.
Yeah. So that's the Maserati MC20. All right. Let's move on. So going from a nearly perfect car to something slightly less perfect. Our pals.
Transition here.
our pals at TFL added a new car to their fleet recently. Roman Micah went to the Rocky Mountain dealer auction where they sometimes buy cars from, and he made a purchase that he almost immediately regretted. Do you remember a couple of years back there was a Chinese company called Kandi that wanted to launch a really cheap EV in the US? It was going to be like under $10,000.
I'd literally never heard of this. I had to look this up when I saw the link in the show notes. So what the heck is this? I'd never heard of it.
It was the Kandi K27.
They don't sell it anymore. So you go. So
yeah. And I'm not sure they ever really did sell it.
Some people got their hands on it.
Yeah,
I don't know how. Maybe they murdered somebody.
Yeah. A few of them managed to get out and away from the company. So the K27 is a little Chinese four-door hatchback. It was supposed to have a range of about 80 miles or so. It was supposed to be able to operate at highway speeds, you know, be fully FMVSS compliant with all the safety rules. Apparently, along the way of trying to get it certified, you know, and prove that it meets all the safety requirements, something went wrong and they apparently could not pass all the tests. Just even though it does have airbags, it has airbags.
Something went wrong.
Yeah. And so it never entirely went on sale. They did, I guess, you know, some of them got sold with, you know, they modified the software to limit the top speed to 35 miles an hour so that it would be classified as a neighborhood electric vehicle.
Yeah.
And so some of them got out there. One of them showed up at Roman's local auction a few weeks ago. And for some reason, he decided to bid it up to $5,000 and bought it.
Oh my God.
That's what it was new, right?
I think it was
about $7,000 or $8,000 new.
$7,000 or $8,000. Okay.
And this one's basically brand new. I mean, it had like 100 miles on it or something.
Oh, all right. So you're getting an $8,000 car for $5,000.
Okay.
Well, it was going to be priced at $8,000. Is it actually worth $8,000 or $5,000?
No, it's not worth any of money.
At this point, I think Roman, well, and on the drive home from the auction with his son, Tommy, within minutes after, actually, maybe even before pulling out of the parking lot at the auction facility, he was immediately regretting it. And they did not make it home from the auction facility.
I'm looking at the links to their things. The title is, there's three videos up here. One says stranded. The other one says dumpster fire. And the third one says sucks at everything.
Sucks at everything.
Everything.
So, So they've got this thing, you know, it actually ended up stranding them twice in the first 48 hours that they had it. And then they got it going. They took it out to their local strip where they do their drag racing, their acceleration and braking tests. And they ran it against an old Citroen 2CV and a 1971 Fiat 500, I think, to see if it could beat those. Surprisingly, it did surprisingly well in the acceleration test, despite the fact that it would only go 35 miles an hour, top speed. Like, it maxed out.
There's got to be a way. They're gonna figure out a way to unlock.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure they will.
I know. No one.
Assuming it doesn't go up in flames first.
Yeah.
God, there should be temperature.
There should
just
be like the nicest people. Well, they need to put like little temperature sensors all over the vehicle so they know as soon as a short happens, they can jump out.
For what it's worth, the Candy does have a lithium iron phosphate battery, so it shouldn't catch fire. So it should be pretty safe.
That's fine.
There's probably a lot it should and shouldn't do, and so far it's not living up to those expectations in either direction. So
I would really like them to, once they're finished with this horrible machine, to rip the battery and the battery and the motor out and put and like do a resto mod with something else, like shove that
make it like some crazy thing. So it's gonna be like, that's a piece of
maybe put it in the Fiat 500.
Yeah, maybe put in the Fiat 500
or the De Chevelle.
Chevelle or an old Fiat convertible or some goofy little old car convertible that they can just cruise around in. That's my advice. If they need help, I will fly out to Denver and help them. I don't know how much I can help, but you know, I have a friend who works at Lucid and worked at Tesla. I'll just drag him with me whether he likes it or not.
You have an expert assistant.
He's a service tech at Lucid, so he'll know what to do.
He'll have an idea.
So in the show notes, you will find, if you look in the show notes, you'll find a link to a YouTube playlist with the first three videos they've posted. And if they add more, I will add them to the playlist. It is definitely worth watching. It's entertaining. And in general, almost everything that the TFL crew does is worth watching.
Yeah.
So you should spend your days just watching TFL on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's fun. It's good times.
Yeah. They do a lot of great stuff.
They're good people.
They're nice.
That's the thing. The best thing is that they're really nice people.
They are really genuinely nice people.
Just the nicest.
All right. So before we go on, I want to mention that we do have we have a merch store now. We have some merch. We have some shirts. You can get some t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, whatever you like, with the Wheel Bearings logo on there, the one that's in the show art, as well as there's another version that has a version of a photo of my Miata, if you like that. And you can also get those on smartphone cases. There's a link on the website, or you can just go to shop.wheelbearings.media and it will take you directly to the Cotton Bureau, where you can order the shirts. And for those of you that are Patreon supporters, I sent out a message on Patreon today, with a discount code, so you can get 10% off your orders. If you're a Patreon supporter, you can get them a little bit cheaper than everybody else. And if you didn't get that message, shoot us a note and I will send you that discount code, by email. So. Hopefully you like those. And if you have any cool designs, any fun designs that you'd like to see on Wheel Bearings t-shirts, feel free to send them to us. We already got one from D in Discord. He took advantage of a little generative AI today and created what looks roughly like an old Alfa Romeo Spider doing mulch hauling duty.
Nice.
And so I will definitely... Nice. Put that onto a t-shirt and we'll make that available in the next couple of days. So
we need one where there's like a big pickup truck and in the back's a giant cookie.
Oh, there, yes. Yeah.
The weight of the cookie is causing the pickup truck to like
to
sort
lift
of
lift in the front a little bit.
Lift in the front. So it's like a Carolina.
if you want to call up Dolly or Midjourney or something and create that, or, you know, if you're artistically inclined and you want to draw that, go right ahead. Funny. Well, do you have a cookie preference, Nicole?
I don't know. I feel like you pick it just to be a cute cookie. Can't be just.
I feel like chocolate chip, so people will
know. Chocolate chip
is
sort of like the base. Yeah, that's like the solid cookie. Everybody likes a chocolate chip. If you don't like a chocolate chip cookie, don't talk to me.
All right. So back to cars. The Kia this week in Korea unveiled three more new EVs: the EV5, the EV4, and the EV3. That are lower cost EVs, lower cost than the EV6. And apparently the EV5, we already saw a render of several months ago. And it basically looks like the EV9, but smaller. So kind of a sportage sized version, but with EV9 styling cues. And I think it's actually pretty cool.
They say we're not going to get the EV5 though in North America.
That would be a real shame if we don't get that.
Considering,
but quote, there is no plan to produce the EV5 in North America.
Well, exporting, but not building.
Yeah, maybe it's just not making it here.
Yeah, we'll see. Lines,
yeah, I hope they bring it.
If we all pester Kia really hard, we might be able to convince them to bring it here.
The Meta plant
is supposed to do 300,000 cars, but they want to push it. They said they can kick it up to 500,000 cars a year. This is mm-hmm. where they're going to be building all the Hyundai.
That's their new plant near Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, there's a plant, and then next door is like battery manufacturing.
Yeah,
so it's like an all-in-one mega electric vehicle place. And so I think it's. I mean, if you're going to start kicking it up to 500,000, you can make an EV5.
But
let's toss a couple.
When we see Steve Center, we'll have to pester him to bring these cars over here. So they had the EV5, which is this crossover. There's also a sedan, the EV4. I think the EV4 is the sedan.
Yes.
Which also has kind of a similar design language to the EV5 and the EV9. And then there's also the EV3, which is, I think, an even smaller crossover. Yeah. Yes. So it's kind of Seltos sized, or maybe even smaller than that.
These are like Matryoshka dolls. They all kind of fit one inside the other.
Like the Kia Niro, like you could replace the Kia Niro in the line.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I think this would be a good replacement for the Niro. So these are using EGMP hardware, but with a 400 volt electrical system instead of 800 volt. So they won't charge quite as fast. You won't get that 240 kilowatt charging, but they'll still be fine. They'll charge fast enough.
They'll probably hit 200.
Yeah.
No, and Kia and the Hyundai Motor Group, they're like, yeah, let's just make this 200.
Yeah, so I think if you go to a Kia dealer, tell them you want the EV5 or the EV4 or the EV3, and when we see the folks from Kia, we'll tell them the same thing, that we want these vehicles.
If we all say we want it, maybe they'll listen.
If we promise to buy them, then
you gotta
maybe they'll
buy
bring them
over.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like manual transmissions. Like everyone wants them, but no one buys them.
No one buys them.
And then companies are like, well, we can't make a car with a manual transmission if only three people buy it, because it's a lot of money.
It's pricey.
You gotta buy the car that you say you want.
But the beautiful thing about EVs is they're all using the same hardware set, and so there's none of this manual transmission stuff. They've all got versions of this, different variations of the motor. Like the EV5 has a 64 kilowatt hour battery pack, which is the same size pack that happens to be in the Kona EV and in the Niro EV, so it's probably the exact same battery.
Yeah,
and a 214 horsepower motor, probably the same motor that is the base motor, in the EV6 and all these other models. The 329 miles of range. Well, that's on the Chinese test cycle, so that's actually probably about 260,
which is fine.
Yeah,
which is better than fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's
all. The ultimate EVs are the ultimate parts bin vehicles.
Yeah. So let's all harass Kia until they bring these to America.
Deal.
Bring us more. I was like, the thing is, like, I want a wagon, and I want a hatchback, and then I'm like, oh, they already gave us that. They always gave us the Ioniq 6 and the Ioniq 5 and the EVs. The EV6. I'm like, oh wait, they always gave us that. All right, well, cool. All right. Never mind.
All right, next up, the new BMW X2 and the iX2. What do you think of these? What do you think of the X2?
I like the 2 better, but
you like the 2 better
just because it's the 2 and I prefer sedans over SUVs, but I'm sure they'll sell a bunch of these, to be honest. Yeah,
everybody's looking for that sort of sized vehicle.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and I mean this is a smaller crossover. Unlike the current X2, the rear glass is sloped forward more, so it has more of that coupe-like profile like the X4 and the X6, whereas the current one is more of a shooting brake, more vertical rear glass. It's fine. You know, I'm not crazy about it. The size is good. The X2 size is good. Although this one,
so very unenthused. It's fine.
This one, I guess, is about 7 inches longer than the current X2. And there's also an electric iX2, although it doesn't look like that one's actually coming to the U.S. market.
Ooh.
But we'll see.
Because everyone loves a crossover. This is essentially a crossover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. People want a BMW, but maybe they don't want the iX is actually, it's like the size of a 5 series. So, yeah. Give us a nice small SUV, BMW.
That's all we want.
Little baby SUV.
Okay.
That's it.
So we've all heard complaints about Tesla's paint jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have.
Well, now you can get a wrap for your Tesla directly from Tesla. I've seen lots of Model Ys and Model 3s that are wrapped. You know, those are the ones you see in colors that you can't get from the factory. Now Tesla is offering their own wraps for the Model Y and the Model 3. And so get a little more variation in color than what they offer from the paint shop. And they claim it's self-healing. So, you know, if it gets scratched, you know, up to a certain point, you know, it will kind of fill itself in. It's a polyurethane, I think, of some sort that will kind of heal itself. Yeah, it's a self-healing urethane film.
I like the green.
Did
you look at all the colors? There's like a good chunk of fun colors in there.
Yeah. And they're more interesting than the colors that they actually paint their cars in.
Yeah, they are.
Which are mostly white or black with occasional reds. Although these are mostly fairly monochromatic too. There is a green and a pale blue.
The green is kind of fun. Yeah.
The green's probably the best one.
Yeah, I'd love to see that in person because it is hard. We're looking at these like photos that are not really what it's going to look like. You know what I mean? But the green looks kind of neat. I like that.
And these depending on the color, they're priced at either $7,500 or $8,000.
Never mind.
And that includes the application.
Not cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, this is on the high end for a wrap job. You can, if you go to, you know, there's places around you that will do wraps, and you can probably get it done for quite a bit less. But
factory direct.
Except it's not. I mean, you have to go to a Tesla service center to do
Nissan,
it.
Nissan. I mean, it's a Tesla direct.
All right. You mentioned Nissan.
It's the next item on the list.
At the upcoming Japan Mobility Show, which I'll be at the week after next, Nissan's going to be unveiling 3 electric concepts. We already talked about one last week, which was the hyper-urban concept. The second one is the hyper-adventure concept, which is interesting.
Okay, what is on the roof of that? Is that supposed to be skis? Because for all the world, I've been watching too much Fast and Furious.
Yeah, those are skis.
Is like a machine-mounted, like, gun or rappelling rope or something. Are those skis?
They're skis.
Okay.
And
not a machine.
And there's...
what is on there?
There's this sort of step system that, you know, slide-out step system on the back, you know. So when you open the tailgate, you have these... The rear seats, I guess, can swivel around. So it's a 4-seater. the rear seats can swivel around, and there's these steps there that kind of interesting. There's some interesting design details, some interesting features, but the overall aesthetic, I'm not sure I'm crazy about this.
The doors open really something. Weird. I'm watching the video, the in-action video. Like, one door opens normal and the other door opens, what would that be, like a gull wing?
Yeah, so it's in that respect, it's kind of like the Model X, the Tesla Model X. So, you know, you get front hinged front doors and then gull wing rears.
What all is happening here? The seat tips back. That looks like an amusement park ride. The way the seat goes like broof, and dumps you out the back. Kids would love that. They'll just sit there. Wee.
Well, the other one, the Hyper Urban last week, you know, it had the front seats that would the seat backs would fold forward.
Right.
And then the whole thing would slide back up against the rear seat to make like a lounge in there. This one, the whole rear seat just rotates back 180 degrees.
Like, I love concepts like this, and they're really fun, and it's fun to see. But you look at this and you think, is any remote piece of this whatsoever realistically going to appear on a Nissan?
The skis on the top.
Okay.
Yeah, the skis will be there. You can put that, Robbie. You can get ski racks, you know, and skis on existing Nissans. So, you know, that's
got it's got tires.
Yeah.
The weirdest tires you've ever seen. Like, are those normal tires? Like, look at how the silver bands go. Those are not normal tires. Those aren't real tires. Who made those?
Well, maybe it's
an episode of Star Trek.
Maybe it's a new kind of tire that's designed for EVs to give longer tire life, because, you know, EVs do wear through their tires faster. So maybe these are designed to last longer.
Maybe that's what the fancy tires are all about.
It could be.
So we got the tires that might be, if they could actually come to fruition, and the ski rack. Anything else? That's the thing. Like, I love these concepts.
It has lots.
There's such an exercise in, like, what could be, but there's so little grounding in what we will actually see, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I'm in Japan, I'll be visiting, you know, Nissan's tech center and their design studio. Yeah. So we'll get a chance. I'll have a chance to talk to the designers and ask, you know, is this the design direction that they're going to take for their future EVs?
Is that what they're trying to show us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a
is this a preview of what we can expect from, you know, 2025, 2026, 2027 Nissan EVs?
Or is this just like, look at this cool thing we can build?
It's just a flight of fancy.
Right. Flight of fancy. It looks really cool. I mean, it does look amazing.
It's definitely interesting.
Definitely a thing.
All right.
It's a thing.
Let's answer a couple of listener questions before we cut it short. Robbie's got to take off.
I got a motor.
Robbie.
I won't ask you questions, but the answers are Miata, BRZ, manual transmission, Mini SE,
and brown
diesel station wagons with manual transmissions.
And maybe not diesel. It's such a pain in the butt to get gas now.
Bye, Robbie.
All right. Bye. We'll see you later. All right. Nicole, DC.
So listener questions are just you and me. Woohoo. Go, Sam.
DC writes in to ask, really enjoy the podcast and the interactions between you all. I'm currently expecting delivery of my Fisker Ocean in the next 2 weeks. Ooh, wow. Now that's a rarity.
Wow. In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
As such, I've seen so many group discussions about the benefits and costs of paint protection, i.e. ceramic coatings. So what's your thoughts? Is it worthwhile? As a point of reference, I do keep my vehicles for a long time, upwards of 10 years typically, and I'm not a hand washer. Usually go through automatic car washes. Since this is my first EV, I doubt the battery will last that long. But again, curious about your perspective on paint protection.
I personally don't really think it's necessary. I mean, if you asked me this question 30 years ago, I might have said yeah. But I feel like vehicles by and large are so, the way they put paints on, all the things that they do, the preventative stuff to keep corrosion and all those things, how well they hold up, unless you're driving someplace where you're constantly getting smacked by rocks. Like, you're always in the dirt. You're always off road. You're always something like that. I don't know. I feel like it's a superfluous thing that you don't necessarily need.
So yeah, most modern vehicles, you know, much of the front fascia is usually made of plastic. So if you get a paint chip there, it's not going to rust. And more often than not, the hood is also made of aluminum. So even if you get a paint chip there, And, you know, like my wife's car, you know, there's a couple of stone chips, you know, in the hood. And, you know, you can see the aluminum through there, but it's not going to rust because it's aluminum. So, you know, this, and the same is true of this. You know, I'm pretty sure the hood is probably aluminum. So in terms of rusting, that's probably not going to be an issue, or corrosion. That's not going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. It basically comes down to aesthetics. You know, do you want it to look pristine after 10 years? Then you might want to consider the paint protection. For what it's worth, you know, my daughter, who's in Denver now, she is actually buying a new car today, I think.
Ooh.
She's getting a Mazda CX-30 in Soul Crystal Red, the correct color.
The correct
And she
color.
She asked me about the paint protection. And for that particular color, even though, you know, if she gets stone chips, it's probably, you know, it's not going to cause, you know, any corrosion issues. But because of that color, that paint, you know, it's also going to, it's probably going to be much more visible. And so I suggested, you know, depending on how much it is, you know, I think it was just like $200 or $300. It's probably not a bad idea to get it. So I think, you know, and especially like for her, you know, living in Denver, you know, they salt the roads, you know, and there's, you know, sometimes there's stones on the roads, you know, from the, when you're running, driving through the mountains, that might get flung up by other vehicles. So, there's more likelihood of something like that, you know, causing damage. You know, like I said, it's not going to be damage that's going to cause, you know, cause it to rust through, but it still might be unsightly. So I think I would say for the ocean, it probably depends on what color you get. You know, if you get a darker color, you know, or, you know, since you're planning to keep it for 10 years or more, and for what it's worth, your battery almost certainly will last at least 10 years.
Yeah, that's good. And probably longer. Like, you're going to be fine. I wouldn't worry about that battery at all.
So you might want to consider getting the paint protection, just to keep it looking nice and fresh after 10 years.
Yeah, I don't, if you want it to look perfect, but it's not, yeah, it's not something that's going to rust away or look horrific. It's going to, at 10 years, you're going to see a little wear and tear, but I still don't know that I would, I don't know. I think I'd spring for it.
Yeah. So like I said, depends on the color. You know, some colors, you know, where if you have a lighter color where the stuff's not, you know, chips aren't going to show up as much, then probably wouldn't bother. But, you know, maybe a darker color or red or something like that, then you might want to consider it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. The other one is from Ed. Actually, we have two others, but DC's message is really long.
DC's Vix from Ontario.
Or Vic, sorry, Vix, Vic from Ontario. And we will come back to that one next time. But for now, let's answer Ed's question. When you talk about larger wheels reducing range and comfort, it got me asking. It got me thinking. Sorry, I can't read today. When you talked about larger wheels, including range and comfort, it got me thinking. For example, the Hyundai Ioniq 5's limited trim isn't offered with smaller wheels. Could the wheels be swapped with the smaller ones? Would the car's onboard computer system have to be reprogrammed to calculate range accurately? Are there other factors to downgrading wheel size on cars that come from the factory with larger ones? So as far as swapping them, yeah, almost certainly. It's very unlikely that they have a different bolt pattern. I haven't actually checked it, but I would say 99.999% chance that it has the same bolt pattern. So you could put the smaller, put the 18-inch wheels onto the limited without any issue at all.
Yeah.
As far as the reprogramming the onboard computer, you could certainly have the dealer do that for you if necessary. But most likely, you know, in most cases, the wheel diameter, the rotating diameter, is usually about the same, even with different size wheels, because, you know, you go to lower profile tires with the bigger wheels. So you end up with actually the same rolling radius. So, you know, if it's off at all, it's not going to be off by very much. But, you know, if you do put on 18s, you could go to, you know, the dealer can reflash that for you. And update that without any problem. And in fact, you might even be able to do it. Like, you know, if you went to a tire store, even if you didn't, you know, if you didn't get The factory 18-inch wheels, if you got some aftermarket 18s and put them on there, a lot of times if you go to a tire store, you can get takeoff wheels, you know, for somebody that has gone and upsized their wheels. You know, sometimes they will they'll trade in their old wheels and tires, you know, that are basically new, to get a discount on the new larger ones. And then they sell those takeoff wheels, or, you know, sometimes the dealers sell those. So you might be able to get those at a slight discount. And the tire store might also be able to do that reprogramming for you. as far as other factors to downgrading the wheel size, I wouldn't necessarily refer to it as downgrading. It's just going smaller.
Downsizing. Not downgrading. Yeah.
Yes. Because in most cases, it's actually an upgrade.
Right.
You know, as we said before, you know, with a little more sidewall, you're going to have a little more ride comfort. Your ultimate handling may not be quite as good because you've got a little more flex in the tire sidewall. But it's, you know, other than that, you know, most people aren't going to be driving that way most of the time anyway. So I would say go for it if you want to do it.
Yeah, I'd do it. Why not?
Yeah. And it still looks fine, even with the 18s. So,
yeah, it's going to look good.
So that's it for this week. Don't forget shop.wheelbearings.media, or just go to Cotton. Just go to Cotton Bureau, and I ordered some today. I ordered a couple of them today.
I'm getting a T-shirt. I'm going to wear Wheel Bearings T-shirt
now. I got one in red and one in green. So,
Soul Crystal red, or is it just some other?
They don't offer a red. Soul Crystal red T-shirt, but it is red. So, you know, I'm living the bold color philosophy. You know,
okay,
promoting bold colors on cars. Going to do the same thing with my Wheel Bearings T-shirts. Definitely, you know, go get a T-shirt, get a phone case, and send us your questions and comments, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.